Hello, and welcome to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Muncie, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is Richard Waltz, who is an elder and the pastor of the church.
As we talk about the old story, whether it's speaking forth the good news of the gospel in Yucatan or whether it's in Muncie, Pennsylvania, it's still the same old story. And we ought to be eager and willing to speak forth that truth to everyone that we meet. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The hymn is 133. Because I think the Kraft family has some music for us as part of Brother Bert's message tonight. So with that, we're privileged to have the Kraft family. And I'll turn it over to Brother Bert now.
Thank you, my brother.
The mic is on there.
And I tell you, keep my head up the whole time like you and not look at notes. So I hope you don't. You set the bar so high for a young preacher.
The guy never looks down at a note or never needs anything to remember what he's dealing with. My beloved, thank you once again for your kindness to the Lord's humble servant, my family, and we're very thankful that you would rearrange your order, your day, your schedule. Some of you forsook other commitments that you had, and thank you for your kind attention and the provisions that you've made for us and the thoughtfulness of allowing us to get down the road a little earlier. That all those things are just so speak of the grace of God in you. Thank you for that. We're really dealing with the cold season here, coming up from the heat and coming in the cold, so we're not doing the best with our voices. But we like to sing a song that has blessed us, blessed our family, and meant so much to us, entitled The Hiding Place. I'd like to invite my family to come up. This isn't a performance. We're just singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, edifying one another, and we hope that God receives the glory.
I can say it. Unless you guys can just help me.
I can move the mic into the Tom, I think we should move the mic to the front. Mm-hmm. In front of the pulpit, the mic.
Would you like us to move it to the front?
We can do that.
She always has to stay in there.
This song is entitled The Hiding Place. Mm. The Hiding Place.
Now righteous in their hearts.
would like to sing one more. Maybe let me talk to my wife for just a second.
My goodness, I miss.
This one is based on the Bible story in the book of Philemon. And what a beautiful message, a gospel message in the book of Philemon. It was said by Paul to Philemon. He said, put that on my account. Anything that this man owes you, anything that he's done wrong, anything that that he owes, or any bill that he has, any shortcoming he has, whatever he may owe you, he said, put that on my account. And that really is the story of the gospel message of Christ. Mm-hmm. Put that on my account. And how could we ever enumerate the multitude of sins that we had? But Jesus said, put that on my account. He took it upon himself. Mm-hmm. He bore those sins, and he paid for those sins once for all on the cross of Calvary. Glory to his name. Put that on my account.
Oh, how can it be?
We love to sing those hymns that speak of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ to those who believe on Him. That doctrine destroys religiosity. It shows we only have one way of acceptance before God, and that is in Jesus Christ, His obedience, His death, and His righteousness that has been imputed to the account of all that believe in Him. Apart from Christ's righteousness, we have no hope whatsoever. It is our only hope. My wife sang in the afternoon before we came a song entitled, I'm Justified. I just love to hear her sing, I'm Justified. And, you know, many want to make that a Reformation doctrine long before the Reformation ever began. Now, that's a historic biblical doctrine, the doctrine of justification. And the devil can do all he can to destroy it, but it's recorded here once and for all. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Glory be to His name. And that is the gospel. That is the effects of the gospel that we preach. The gospel is the good news that Christ died for our sins and that He rose again. But all that leads then to justification, the sinner being justified before God, considered two things, considered as if he never sinned, just as if I never sinned. But the other thing is just as if I always obeyed the Word of God in all its points, because I have Christ's righteousness. And that righteousness cannot be soiled. It can't be taken from us. And that's why we're such a secure and a confident and a joyous people, because of that which Christ has done for us. I trust you rejoice in those things this afternoon, and it's just not something hearsay in your heart and your life, but it's something that your whole being rests upon. The righteousness of Christ through faith. And we've been preaching. My testimony is very brief in the morning, but we've been preaching through the book of Galatians. Because we had a congregation that after about 18 months of teaching decided to go down the righteousness through the legal righteousness of the law. And though they may balk at and hear me say that, though I have said it straight to their face, in the end, we are justified and we are sanctified by Christ, by this work of the Spirit of God in us. And it's not by our legal righteousness through the law. And so we have been dealing with those things for some time now. I'm not sure how many messages I preached in Galatians, and I'm just getting through the first half of the book and looking forward to continuing with that. But this afternoon, I don't know how tired you are after eating that pizza. I sort of feel a little more reinvigorated myself, but that doesn't mean you do. But I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Psalms chapter 71. My own personal experience here in the last couple of years, I've had some back troubles. Maybe you have read about some of those. And this past year, 2015, was the first year in the last 3 years that I wasn't on my back, at least for a day or so. I wasn't on my back one day, and I'm very thankful for that, the Lord's strengthening of me. But this whole back episode, 1 year, was it the 2014, I was on my back about 3 months of the whole year. Very, very frustrating for me. I consider myself to be a young man still when that happened. But the Lord begins to open our eyes. And this message was actually prepared as God was preparing me. Don't laugh, you who are gray-headed and our seniors here amongst us. I know I'm in kindergarten compared to you. But the aging process began to set in, if you will. And all of a sudden, I was faced with things. How am I going to serve God? I don't have my youth and vigor that I've had for so many years. I never had a care for my own self. We've slept under the stars. We've slept on boards. We've slept in tents. We've hiked. And we've never taken a consideration for ourselves over the years. And now in recent years, boy, I have to be just so careful of every move and everything that I do. It's more calculated. And obviously, it became a concern for me. A concern because my heart's desire is to be faithful, to faithfully serve the Lord all the days of my life. And as my days, I believe it, my strength shall be. But all of a sudden, I find myself in a time of change. Now, you all have been through that. I know that. And this is going to almost sound funny to you. But I really, the Lord gave me this message because I feel like many aging believers don't know what their place of service is. They don't know the biblical plan. In our vigor and our youth, there's a sense where we're more free to serve. And now there's some limitations. And I want to address that, if you will, and I want to be an encouragement to you saints. And I want to be an instruction for those who are going towards that path. That path of being an aging believer. I always say to my dad, how's my aging father? He said, it's sure better than the alternative. I used to ask him, how are you doing? He said, I'm still on this side of the sod. But you know, in reality, brethren, this is the way of all flesh. Obviously, we don't have Christ to look to in the perfect sense that he died as a young man at 33 years of age. We never saw his example as an elderly saint, as the elderly son of God, if you will. But yet, the Bible is full of instruction, encouragement for us. And I believe my heart has been helped, and I hope that you will find the same as we read the Scripture. We're going to read Psalm chapter number 71. Psalm chapter number 71. I want to maybe put a title on this as the Biblical Aid for the Aging Believer. Biblical Aid for the Aging Believer. We say that David was in this place. He was cognizant. He recognized the weakness. He recognized the aging process taking place. I'm going to read the Scripture and then we'll make some comments. Psalm chapter 71. For the Word of God it says, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and will yet praise Thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth Thy righteousness and Thy salvation all the days, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even of Thine only. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. Hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I've showed Thy strength unto this generation, Thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. O God, who is like unto Thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise Thee with the psaltery, even Thy truth, O my God, unto Thee will I sing with the harp, O Thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto Thee, and my soul which Thou hast redeemed.
My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this afternoon we bless you and thank you. First for yourself, for your kind, all the virtues that are so perfectly displayed in your own person. And in that, the giving of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for our sins, to make us a peculiar people, to redeem us and to save us, and that we might be for your honor and glory. And Father, as we come now to your word, we pray that you would give us serious thoughts. Help us, Father, to receive aid, help from above. That succor, Father, that only can come from you. Father, I'm one of the youngest here in this room this evening, apart from my own children. But I pray, Father, that you would give me words to speak that would minister and meet the needs, Father, of each one of your saints. We pray, Father, for those who do not know you in truth, that they, Father, would come by faith to Christ and be clothed, Father, in the righteousness of Christ and stand faultless before you, Father, knowing that the righteousness of Christ is a perfect righteousness because of his perfect obedience and his death on the cross. Thank you now. I ask for your help. I ask for the Spirit's control, Father, that my lips would only glorify and honor thee. And Father, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross of Christ, and that, Father, the Spirit of God would minister to our heart needs. We thank you now, Father. We believe and know you've heard our prayer in Jesus Christ. We've asked these things according to your will. And so we look, Father, for your blessing upon your word in this time of worship together and instruction in your word. In Christ's name, amen. We see here by the context of what David speaks that this truly is. This is a psalm for the aging believer. Notice, if you will, and you may want to highlight, in Psalm chapter 71 and verse 5, we see these expressions that come forth from the lips of David. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. He's no longer in that young adult. He's not a youth anymore. He has now entered into another stage of life. And he says, thou art my trust from my youth. He's in a more advanced stage. In verse number 6, we find, he says there, by thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. And so he is sort of looking back and contemplating the providence of God, and the goodness of God, and the sustenance of God, the protection of God, and how God has met his need. In verse number 9, David also shows forth that this is a psalm of biblical aid for an aging believer. And he says in verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. In verse number 17, David voices, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Verse 18 also, now also when I am old and gray-headed. He's getting to that stage of, he needs some biblical aid for an aging believer. Now I'm old and gray-headed, he said, O God, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Dearly beloved, all of us have to face, and we're all in different stages. Those who are children and youth here really don't begin to understand what we're talking about. And there was just a few years ago that I thought that I would continue many years with the same vigor and strength that I had in my youth. And all of a sudden, there's certain signs setting in. The gray hair is one of the first ones to come. Some of us are grayed earlier than others. And some of us haven't grayed at all. Brother Dan, you don't look like you're a day over 25 back there. Doesn't have a whole lot of gray hair. Maybe that's another problem I'm having. There's aches and pains. There's chronic and debilitating discomfort. That letter that soon comes in the mail called the AARP letter. Been there and done that, huh? A few years back. And then How can we, the death of our childhood friends. It's amazing how many have gone before us. Those who were in our same class that we played with, that we were schooled with, and the death of our childhood. And all of a sudden, we are with the mind. Something is taking place. Something is happening. There are definite changes. Now, before I really get into what I really want to bring edification to the saints, I just want to cause us to step back and think for a second, lest we be resentful toward God or toward the providence of God. There is a great honor in growing old and aging. The Bible teaches us that. Our society has minimized the elderly, but God puts a special stamp of blessing upon the aging process and the honor of growing old. And He's done that in many ways, and we could really spend hours here, which we will not, Lord willing. But God put honor upon aging by calling Himself the Ancient of Days. God has honored the aging by giving His special promises to them and to those, He says in Ephesians 6:3, speaking about honoring your father and your mother, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long upon the earth. See, there's a blessing. There's a blessing, a divine blessing of long life, of the aging and the elderly process. In Psalm chapter number 91 in verse 16, He says that with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. I want to just take the opportunity to cause us to read a scripture here. Go with me, please, to the next to last book of the Old Testament. I believe we call it in English Zechariah. Is that right? Zechariah. Go with me to chapter 8, in verse number 4. And in the restored Jerusalem, the eternal city of truth, it is said, notice what the Bible says there in Zechariah 8, 4. It says, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And He speaks about the joy and the blessing of this Jerusalem with elderly men and women and their presence and the blessing that they will be in that city. Notice, if you will, several other biblical texts. Dearly beloved, our society needs to hear this, and maybe you don't need to hear this, but I know my children need to hear it. We need to hear it as the younger generation. Leviticus chapter number 19, verse 32. It says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Where is that respect in our society? Where men and women, at one time, they would stand up in the presence of the elderly, of the grandparents, the great-grandparents, and they would show forth a unique and a special respect. Where does that exist in our society anymore? Honor the hoary head. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter number 16. Verse number 31. Proverbs 16 and verse number 31. The scripture tells us the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness, in the way of God, in the will of God. The hoary head is a crown of glory. You dear saints, I don't bow in worship towards you, but I bow in humble respect towards you. Those of you who have grown elderly in the faith and righteousness and the will of God, dearly beloved, we see that it is an honor. Our society has so distorted. Our churches are filled with with people who are aged and they don't know their place. They've been pushed aside. They've been as if they weren't useful anymore. We put our aging parents in homes. And I realize that sometimes that is a necessity of life and providence. But oh, the thought of you elderly. Nurturing and instructing and counseling your own children in the latter years of your life and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and having that contact. Oh, that's what the Bible so teaches us. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, the younger men as brethren." And so, we are to hold in high esteem the elderly saints of God. And we are to see that God has blessed them and honored them in this process. And He has a place of unique and special service unto His glorious name. I'm very frustrated amongst so many churches, and they have their pastors who are no longer able to bear the burden of the ministry. And these men who have lived for God and who have been God, had led godly lives and raised up families and have pastored and ministered 30, 40, 50 years, and now there's no place of service for them. Dearly beloved, what is wrong with us? Do we not understand the treasure that is amongst us and these elderly saints and the ministry that they could have before us? Maybe not with the pressures of the daily task, but the instruction, the example, the counseling. And so we are taught by the Scriptures that elderliness is a noble necessary and needed element of our homes, our society, our churches, and our nation. We're thinking how to euthanize the aged, and how to cut their lives short, and how to get them out of our hair. As a nation, that is our thought. And yet God says they're such a beautiful, the elderly saints in particular are such a beautiful element in the Lord's churches and in our homes, our societies, our communities. Perhaps even asking, confessing our sins. Confessing our sins as a church, as a community, as a family, for not esteeming the wisdom that is amongst us. Our churches are full of elderly saints who know not their place. But I challenge us to this afternoon that every saint, no matter their age, we must find our place. Find our own place of service and purpose, and we must look to God, find our resources in God and His Word, because we are useful. We are useful in the Lord's service. I want to just address, and I'm going to have to address very superficially here because of time, but as I began to look at the changes that were taking place in my life, and as I began to study the Scriptures, I saw that there's three needs in the life of every person who is in that elderly stage, no matter what the advancement is. And I'll share them with you. Number one, there is a need for renewed vigor. Number two, there's a need for renewed vigilance. Number three, there's a need for renewed vision. I want to address these quickly here and we'll be done. Psalm chapter 71 and verse number 9. Psalm chapter 71, verse number 9. David, inspired by the Spirit of God, penned Psalm 71, verse number 9. And this regarding renewed vigor. You and I don't have the same strength that we had just a few years back. We can't keep the same pace. We can't lift the same amount. We can't shoulder the same burdens. Things get to us quicker. Will we humbly acknowledge that as a people? We don't like to. The doctor said to me with my back, sir, you're just going to have to learn your limitations. Well, as a man, I don't like to think I have any limitations, but I'm having to learn them. There's strength in knowing your limitations, what you can, you cannot do. Renewed vigor. Our flesh faileth. God is the strength of our heart. There is a physical decay. The outward man is perishing, as the scripture tells us. These are not new, anything you do not know. We're just acknowledging. And so David says here in Psalm 71 and verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. He gives forth when that is, forsake me not when my strength faileth. When my strength faileth. And dearly beloved, we must recognize, we must confess our own humanity, our own debility. We must confess our own limitation. It's in our humbling of ourselves and recognizing who we are, what we are before the Lord. As we humble ourselves, God gives us grace. This elderly stage is a time of debility, solitude, earthly decay. We just aren't what we used to be. The old Cuban preacher. He's not our kind of preacher, but I heard him preach one year. He says, yeah. He says, in my youth, I had a chest like this. He says that one day it all fell down to here. That's sort of the way it is, huh? The changes. But dearly beloved, let us be reminded in our weakness there is divine strength. Let us not be fretful of those spies who entered in and saying, we can't do it. Oh, we elderly saints, those of us who have been experienced in the grace of God and the ministry of the Spirit and the Word of God, we can't confess weakness. Weakness, yes, in our own person, but in Christ there's nothing that we can't do. Isaiah 40 tells us that we'll mount up with wings like eagles. We will be stronger than even many youths and their youthful endurance. Go with me, please, here to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm struggling what to bring out, what not to bring out, but pray for me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 16. And he says, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. And so Paul speaks about here an internal youthfulness. Yes, the outward man is perishing. Yes, the outward man has debilitations. It has limitations. But there is to be an inward renewing by the Word of God, and that produces an internal youthfulness. And that's really, dearly beloved, that's a beautiful thing. To see in an aged body internal youthfulness. Internal hope and confidence in God being sustained. David said in Psalm 23, God is the strength of my heart. In Psalm 103, verse 5, we are promised renewed youthfulness while feeding on the Word of God and His promises. Nehemiah teaches us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, dearly beloved, all this sounds beautiful, but when you see it lived out in the saints of Scripture, is it not something to marvel at that approximately the age of 120 years old, the greatest test of Abram's faith was put before him? I don't know about you, but I had this concept in my youth that I'm going to try to be diligent and become strong in the Lord and memorize the Word and overcome the temptations, and things will just get easier than going forward. It hasn't worked that way for me. I probably assume that it hasn't been for you either. But you know, dearly beloved, the greatest test of the faith in the life of Abraham was in his elderly years. He was told to go offer thy son, thine only son, upon the altar. Upon the altar, and Abraham obeyed, but fully convinced in his heart that God would raise him from the dead, and that God would restore him life, and God would fulfill all of his promises. Dearly beloved, let us not think that our easiest days are ahead. Our greatest test may be ahead before us yet. Renewed vigor, confidence in God, strength in God. But we see something then of renewed vigilance. Renewed vigilance. You know, typically we like to speak of youthful lust. And youth has its many trials and temptations and difficulties, does it not? And those of us who are parents with younger people, we understand that in an acute situation, maybe more than others who have already gone through and maybe some semi-forgotten it. There are challenges as a youth. We pray constantly for our son in Charleston that he would keep his heart and his mind and his body. There's so many things to distract, so many things to destroy, to corrupt. The sexual challenge and temptation that is constantly before them. And we speak of youthful lust. But does not the very fact that it's mentioned youthful lust imply that there are also temptations and difficulties of agedness, elderliness? Now, we may not think that to be true. But if we go through the scriptures, we'll soon find that aging tends to various temptations and sins. Number one, discontentment, complaining, murmuring, ingratitude, criticism, irrational expectations, negativism, loss of discipline, loss of self-control, indulgence, permissiveness, sexual perversity, moral looseness, impatience and anger, intolerance, anxiety and worry, distrust. As the youth are challenged to certain temptation, so are those who are in the aging process. And for us to deny that, we just have to send a mouse with a recorder to sit inside the house of most aged people. We'll confirm exactly what we're saying. We find it was Solomon in his latter years that became loose. Lack of judgment. We see Lot in his latter years fell into an incestuous relationship with his own daughters. We see Abraham at the age of approximately 85 years old in an improper relationship with Hagar. Dearly beloved, these are not uncommon things. And there must be renewed vigilance on the part of elderly saints to keep their hearts with all diligence. For out of it are still the issues of life. There must be vigilance in our thought life, vigilance in our spiritual life, vigilance in our inner motivation, vigilance in our physical appetites, vigilance in self-denial. There must be renewed vigor, renewed vigilance. But then I come to the third point, renewed vision. You are one of the greatest stages of your life. Believe that or not, the scripture confirms that. And you and I need renewed vision. Renewed vision of a God-centered life in worship. Dearly beloved, our latter years of life were not given for pure recreation, for self-indulgence and self-pleasure. We need a renewed vision that our life is to be centered in God, in His Word, in His purpose, in His worship. We need a renewed vision of our spiritual debt to the lost world. Look with me at Psalm 71 again, our text, Psalm 71 and verse 18. I just love this. And David, he says, verse 18, "Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not." Look what he has, a renewed vision. "Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." Oh, dearly beloved, we need this vision. We have a spiritual debt. And we have little less time now to pay it than we did in our youth. We have a spiritual debt to this lost world, to show forth the salvation. There's so many ways I could speak of this. Number one, by pouring your lives into other young people and teaching them, instructing them, discipling them. I think over here at the World Missionary Press in New Paris, Indiana, they produce Bible portions in over 200 different languages in the world. Most of the labor that goes into those millions that are sent out every month is volunteer labor by retired people. So thankful that they would volunteer their time to the Word of God might go forth to the uttermost parts of the earth. I have two pastor friends that in the latter years of their life, 58 and forward probably, who left their pastorates and went to a foreign country over in Asia and are serving in Asia and teaching and preaching in Bible institutes and instructing men. What a great way to close out your earthly days in this life, impacting the spiritual future of unevangelized nations. Renewed vision of intercessory prayer. One time I went to a conference in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I didn't have any place to stay. I showed up for the conference and an elderly couple received me into their home to stay the few nights that I would be there for the conference. And what a delight that was to my soul. And in the morning time, they would eat their breakfast. And at breakfast time, they would get out the Word of God and they would read the Scripture. And then they would pull out pictures of those missionaries whose hearts they were bound to by common affinity, and whether that was through their church or, but we would go through every morning and we would pray for their ministries, and they would, if they had letters sent, they would read those letters there, and a renewed vision of intercessory prayer. Maybe we're not able to physically go and do the work that we might have gone and done in our youth, but we can go, we can be a part, we can intercede, we can share, we can claim the promises of God for other nations, other peoples, other needs. The salvation of souls. Renewed vision of communicating God's truth to children and grandchildren. You know, one of the greatest mission fields that each one of you have, your own children and your grandchildren. Are all of your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, are they all children of God? Have they all been presented the truth of the gospel regarding to salvation? Have you been a faithful instrument in the hands of God to communicate to your children, grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, those truths that you have loved, embraced, those truths that believing them bring life and life eternal? Renewed vision of the veracity of the promises of God. David said, "Cast me not off, forsake me not." Oh, dearly beloved, these promises are just as true, are yea and amen in Christ, as they were when we were 15 and 20 years old. The day that the Lord saved them, they're just as true, they're just as vibrant, they're just as truthful, and they will all be fulfilled. We need a renewed vision of the veracity of the promises of God. And so I close. I close with this, and I speak to those who are younger among us. The Bible highly esteems the elderly and aging believers, and so should we. Forgive me. Forgive my generation when we haven't honored and given place to you who have so much to offer but have been set aside in many homes, in many, many churches. The elderly believer should not succumb to the world's estimation of how to live out the autumn and winter years of their life. Right now, there's a whole mountain of people at the Texas border, gray-headed. In fact, they're starting to think that I'm one of them. But all those snowbirds, all those winter Texans that are down there, I come across the border just to get my battery charged, maybe to get a few supplies, maybe to come visit someone here in the States, and then I head back to my field of service. But there's just a whole host of people that are just living unto pleasure. The Bible says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. Why would we want to live out the last years of our life before we face Christ face to face? Nothing more than just pleasing ourselves and living to our flesh. God help us. God grant us repentance. The aging saints should cry out to God. Cry out to God in prayer to be fruitful in their latter years, as Samson was more fruitful in his latter days than in his younger days. It's amazing how sometimes the Lord makes that to be. When we're in our strongest, we accomplish less. In our weakness, we accomplish more. I think there's something in 2 Corinthians 12 that gives that veracity. It was said of Samson, in those days of great strength, he didn't accomplish for the Lord what he did in the latter days in his weakness and his blindness. The aging saint of God should joyfully welcome his weaknesses and infirmities so that Christ might be more magnified, might be magnified more fully in him. When we're weak, then are we strong. The aging saint must watch and pray with more diligence than in his youth because of his many temptations and weaknesses. I think that we have failed to really deal with that and to be aware that that is a great need in our lives. The aging saint must actively seek out a place of ministry to this lost and dying world. He should be an active participant in the fulfilling of the Great Commission. Dearly beloved, don't think that your years of service are past. You're not. You may have two mites like the little widow, but you may cast them in, and that testimony may go to the ends of the world as it has with her. But be active in fulfilling the purpose of the Lord's church and the Great Commission. The aging saint ought to faithfully and creatively communicate God's truth to their children and grandchildren. If you don't have that as a priority in your life, oh, that today would be the day that you would make that a priority. Look for ways to communicate to your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And perhaps there's other within your influence that are not mentioned, but you could be an instrument of blessing unto salvation. The aging saint must cast himself continually upon the unfailing promises of God. Dearly beloved, it's not easy to serve the Lord in our youth, and it's not easy to serve our Lord in our latter years of life. But by God's grace, we are able to do it, and we're able to be fruitful and God-glorifying instruments if we'll trust Him, obey His word. We'll throw off this worldliness, this worldly thought. Let us see ourselves according to the light of God. In our weakness, God makes us strong. Let's finish up with 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And that great promise in our weakness, how God glorifies Himself and He uses us in a special way. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Verse number 9, and he said unto me, the Lord said unto Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure, I rejoice in, I'm happy about. I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That's the promise of God, dearly beloved. That's the promise of God for you. Believe it. Trust it. Lean upon it. Rejoice. May we rejoice in our infirmities, our weakness, and all the aspects that go with the elderly process, and may God use you in as a special instrument in obedience to His word, trust His promises, and be a servant of God all the days of your life. As your day, so shall your strength be. Believe God for that, dearly beloved. He will help you. He will provide. He will provide a way of escape. There hath not a temptation to take you that be not common to man, but God is faithful. God is faithful, who will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And so trust the Lord for His provision in all those aspects. Serve the Lord. Look how to serve Him. Pray about serving Him. Don't settle for just the average Joe Blow, common, everyday United States of America worldly process that, well, just going to live life for myself. Don't become self-absorbed. There's been many, many difficulties in life, but we're just a stone's throw, as we say, just a stone's throw from glory. We're a stone's throw away from the judgment of God. We're a stone's throw away from receiving our recompense. Let's be found faithful. Let's enter into His presence without shame and reproach, without self-seeking. Let's do His will until He calls us into His presence. May the Lord bless His word. May the Lord give us grace to live it. May He be pleased by what has been spoken this day. Thank you for your time, and thank you for the privilege to impart the word of God.
Thank you, brother. I think we need to close with a hymn. The experience of faith gives us the assurance.
To Him.
It's to the glory of His name that we all labor.
So, now to Him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
We do want to get a family shot.
Thank you for listening to this recording of a worship service at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. For further information, you can contact us at our website, www.localchurchpa.com. Email at sgbc@localchurchpa.com. Or call 570-435-2276.